Class notes.
I gave a separator in between them and then homework, just so it's easy to find them. Okay, that's all the notes for the remainder of the course. So that's all the homeworks and all the notes. We just didn't want to hand it out yesterday without a binder, because then they just can get everywhere. So it looks like everyone did a good job getting a binder and getting it in there. So you want to bring that to class every day, because that's the order that we're doing stuff. So if you look in your class notes bundle and you start flipping, the first thing that you'll see is what we did yesterday. So that was like Marichek 1. Just ignore those because we've already done those. And so flip to today, which is day 2, which is use a general strategy to solve linear equations, and that's Marichek 2.1. So if you want to take the first ones out, you can, or put yesterday's notes in, you know, whatever you want to do. And so you'll see that today's lesson, Marichek 2.1, is a total of 4 pages long. So we have 4 pages of notes to do. Before we go any further, can you now like flip to the homework section so that you can see what tonight's homework looks like? So you should see, it should be like the second page of homework stuff. It will say Marichek 2.1, so it looks like this. And it's actually at the bottom, you see it's 1 of 2 pages. So they're all front. So there's actually 6 problems that are going to be graded at 50% of that grade. And then up top, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, like 17 problems, or 16 or 17 problems. Should you do the up top before or after the bottom? Before, because that's how you learn how to do the bottom. You have the answers to the stuff on the top. Everybody able to get into the Marichek file and like find the problem? Because I don't have a lot in this one for y'all, so you have to do that sort of on your own. So through Blackboard, course document, Marichek selected, you know, questions and answers is where you'll find those problems. Do them on plain notebook paper. After you do them, check your answer. Make sure you check it. Don't just blindly do homework, not knowing if you're right or wrong. That's the whole reason why we're giving you ones that you have the answer to check. If you get it wrong, try it again. If you get it wrong by the third time, come to us for help, because you're probably not going to sort yourself out the third time. So try it, give yourself a go. Maybe put a question mark by it. That way he knows when he's grading it, or I know when I'm grading that you didn't get that one right. And if a lot of people don't get one right, we can do it on the board for you at the end or something. So that's what's going to be due tomorrow. So Marichek 2.1, a grand total of like 6 problems. Okay? Excellent. And so that's how the course goes every day. Course notes for the day, homework for the day. Course notes for the day, homework for the day. They're all in the order that we do them. They're all in the binder that you've got. Okay. So, this is my bundle. I do not have a binder. That's my spill all over. How did your homework go last night? Were you able to get a calculator for today? Number one. Not quite yet? Okay, still working on getting calculators. I need one definitely by Friday when we do that first quiz on Friday. So Friday's quiz will cover what we did yesterday. What did it cover yesterday? PEMDAS, which is order of operations. We covered order of operations. We covered a little bit of exponential stuff, how to raise a power to a power exponent. We did a little bit of work with fractions on the calculator, but not a lot of you had your calculators, so it was a little bit hard to show you how to do things when you don't have one in front of you. But you can always come over to the accelerator and I'll show you once you get your calculator, so that you can have your calculator help you out with some of that stuff. Today's topic is solving linear equations. That's the main topic of the day. So what we're going to do in an hour, 15 minutes, is what in elementary algebra we would do probably in a week or two. So we're reviewing kind of swiftly how to solve linear equations, because that speed you should almost already be at. I'm pointing out some of the major flaws that we see that you can correct. So we're going to start with a property called the distributive property. And so today I'm going to use the notes a little bit more than I did yesterday. I have some more equations to do in a minute, but we're going to at least get through these top ones sort of on here. So the distributive property is, I'm just going to get something to write with. So sometimes the notes like this start with a more complicated example as opposed to starting with a very easy one. So I'm going to show right here a more easy one right underneath here. So for your first example, if you saw something like this, and the directions might say simplify or use the distributive property to simplify. I don't know where I put all those green sheets. Did I leave them back there?
Underneath you.
That's true. It's easier because everybody's positive. And they're small numbers, and it's kind of easy to know. So when there's a number sitting out in front of parentheses, what do we do in between there?
Multiplication.
It always indicates multiplication. So we use the distributive property to remove those parentheses. So you must multiply that 2 times the x and also the 2 times the positive 5. If you're sort of beginning or you're first learning, sometimes we draw the rainbow thing to show the two multiplications. If you don't need that, don't do that anymore. But when you're first learning, you might need that. So 2 times x is 2x. And 2 times positive 5 is 10, plus 10, right? And so you should have that answer underneath. And you're done. You use the distributive property. Everybody familiar with that? The generic one just uses letters like this, like A, B's, and C's, but that's just, so A, B, and C can be anybody. A could be a number, it could be positive, negative, it could be a fraction, decimal. B's and C's could be variables. It's all the same property that you would use. There could be more than 2 things inside, although we don't see any with more than 2. There could be 3. It just goes to everybody inside the premise. So here is also the distributive property of Greek. But you got some negative stuff, and you got a little more variables going on, so you have to know a little bit more to do the second one. So what do you get when you multiply negative 16 times t? Do you remember what t times t is? T squared. So negative 6t squared comes from the first multiplication, and you must pay very careful attention to your signs. The sign of a term, is whatever's in front of it. So it's not really a 2, it's a negative 2. So we're doing negative 6t times negative 2. So do the number part first. Negative 6 times negative 2 is positive 12, and the t comes along. So plus 12t. Those two expressions are equivalent. Right? This is the more simplified version because the parentheses have been removed. So one thing when you see the word simplify comes to your mind should be removing any parentheses that you can. Alright, so sometimes the parentheses have just a negative symbol out in front of it. That could be read as negative or the opposite of. I like to sometimes think about it as the opposite of, because the opposite flips everybody's mind. So you can think about it that way. You can think about it 2 different ways, and you pick whatever you like. So one rationale might be that I could flip in a little ghost 1 right here that's not really written in, but it's like a negative 1. Some people like to do that. So instead of just negative, there's really a negative 1 there, so it looks kind of like this. Negative 1 times x minus 3z. And if you like to do that, you can, but once you get beyond that, you probably don't want to. Negative 1 times x, well, anytime you multiply somebody by a negative, it flips its sign. So if it's positive here, it's now going to be negative. So negative x. And negative 1 times negative 3x, negative times negative is positive, and so you get plus 3z. And that's your answer, negative x plus 3z. If you can get beyond that, I can look at this and go, x is positive, now it's going to be negative. So negative x. Negative 3z is negative, so now it's going to be positive. Positive 3z. So a negative out in front of parentheses flips everybody's sign inside the parentheses from whatever to the opposite of what it is. And so you can just look at that and remove the parentheses and go right to this answer. Negative x plus 3z, that's even better. There's all different levels in here at the moment, so I'm just kind of covering the full span from what the weakest student might need to what the quickest student might be able to do in their head. All right, so now we're just playing with that a little bit, that expression right here. You wonder what's going on with that 5, but that negative out in front that's being multiplied comes first.
because it's multiplication. This is like a subtraction thing. So that comes first. So the first thing you want to do is remove the parentheses. So the 5 for the moment just comes down and hangs out in front. So 5 comes down.
How would you remove the parentheses? What should I write?
Changing the sign?
Yes. Okay. So instead of positive 2, it's now? Negative 2. So minus 2. And instead of negative x, it's now positive x. And you have removed the parentheses. But simplify sort of has more to it than just removing parentheses.
It also means combine like terms. We haven't talked about what like terms are, but as far as this goes, they're just the numbers. The numbers can combine with each other. And so you won't leave that like that because you can go ahead and do the 5 minus 2.
So these two terms right here are like. So 5 minus 2 is 3. And so over here on the answer blank, you would get 3 plus x. I'll write all the answers on the blank since I was kind of just leaving them over there.
You cannot add 3 and x together because they're not like. You have the x attached to them. He's just a number. So they don't combine to be 3x. They multiply together, but they don't add or subtract together. So you don't want to take something right and then the next step move it to something wrong. That's also a mistake people make. So they sit separate from each other.
Does it matter if I write this answer or this answer?
Are they the same? Are they equivalent to you guys? Like pretend x is 5. What's 3 plus 5? 8. What's 5 plus 3? 8. Because addition is commutative. The order that you write is not important. So those two things are equivalent. We look at those and instantly know they're equivalent and don't even like think about that in our head. We would grade them both at 100%. There will come a point where we like to list the variable first and the number at the end second. That's the preferred sort of standard way to give an answer. But in this one, because it was out of order to begin with, it would kind of make sense that you might put it here. But if you've done math quite a bit, if you've gotten through Algebra 2 in high school or whatever, you probably might also naturally reorder it with the variable term first and the number at the end. So they're equivalent to each other and we know that. So up to you. Alright, so now we got this one with the fractions, right? So you can do the fraction part with your fraction knowledge or you can do the fraction part on your calculator. It's up to you. Do you see it's still distributive property? So you're literally just keying in 8 times 7 eighths. Your calculator can do that just fine. Or you can do it sort of off your side. So 8 times 7 eighths. That 8 is really over a 1. So things cancel diagonally. So those 8s cancel. And then 1 times 7 is 7. And 7 divided by 1 is 7. Right now I'm not too bothered how you're getting 7. But you should get 7 as the answer. If you just do 8 times 7 eighths, you get 7. And so it's 7y. Because there's a y attached to the first one. If you're doing 8 times 3/4, it's really an 8 over 1 times 3/4. Things can cancel diagonally, so 4 goes into 4 once, and 4 goes into 8 twice. And now you multiply straight across, so 2 times 3 is 6, and 6 divided by 1 is 6. So both of those ended up not even being a fraction for the once you multiplied it out. So minus 6. So this guy is 7y minus 6. So I'm going to leave that. Everyone feel okay with the distributive property? If there's 3 things inside, it goes to all 3. If there were decimals, you just key in the decimals. Okay? All right. So let's go ahead and keep going on this one. Now we're adding to it. So it says distribute and then combine the like terms. So we've got an easy one, and we've got a little bit more challenging one down below. So always, first things first, just use the distributive property to remove the parentheses. So can you just do that? Like, can you look at it, or do you need to draw the arrows? Is anybody drawing the rainbow things, or can you just do it? Just do it? Okay. So 5 times x is 5x. 5 times negative 2, minus 10. And then positive 4 times x is plus 4x. And positive 4 times positive 3 is plus 12. And you end up with that expression right there. The parentheses have been removed, but you've not combined the like terms. So like terms have the same variables to the same powers, or they're the numbers. So like I said, we have a lot of different levels in here. There are some people that could just look at that and go, I know the answer is 9n+2 or whatever the answer is, right? And then there's other people that could struggle a little bit because they're not sure, like, what's that negative going on. There's a lot of different levels, a lot of different ways you can do it. One technique is to underline like terms. So that guy and that guy can combine. So I put one line underneath them. And maybe I'll circle the other like terms, like that with circles to differentiate the two. And so don't forget that when you underline or circle, include the sign in front of it with it, because that is part of that term. So now you can see who can combine. So 5x and 4x, by adding the numbers out front, 5 plus 4 makes 9. It doesn't become x squared. It's just how many x's do you have. So you have 9 x's. And then negative 10 plus 12 is another one of those situations where some people think they know it and they write stuff like 22 or negative 2 or something very, very wrong. If your sign number stuff is getting you, negative 10 plus 2 is positive 2, like plus 2 and you're done. If you can do it in your head, by all means, please do it in your head. But when you're starting to get them wrong for that, then keep it. Because we just need the answer to be right now. And you can sort of your first one, distributed combined like terms. That's an easier one because it's a plus sign right here. The minute we make that a negative sign right here, that tends to mess some people up sometimes. There's also two variables going on, x and y. So go ahead and do that one and give it a go. Just do it yourself. Very much, I like you to think about original, equivalent, final answer. Like, everything is very systematic. Everything's equivalent, because the minute you make one mistake, it never fixes itself from that point down. So be very, like, methodical in what you do and accurate. So 3 times 4x is 12x. 3 times negative y, negative 3y. This negative out in front gets distributed to everybody within the parentheses. So it's going to change both of the signs of these guys, who are currently positive to now negative for both of them. Or you can flip in a negative 1 and multiply by negative 1, which does the exact same thing, changes everybody's signs. So what was a negative positive 2x is now negative 2x. And what was a positive 3y is now a negative 3y. So that got me to right there. Equivalent. But not the final answer, because I've got two pairs of like terms. The X's can combine and the Y's can combine. By, it's the coefficient, the number out front is called the coefficient. By combining the coefficient. Another option, if you're a little bit weak at this, is to reorder it so that literally the X's are sitting next to each other and the Y's are also sitting next to each other. So I just chose to reorder it, that optional, if you want to. When you're first learning, we do this quite a bit. So that now you can physically see they're sitting next to each other. They can combine because they're both x's. So 12 minus 2 makes 10. So you have 10 x's. And oftentimes people see stuff like this sometimes and think it zeros out, but they're not opposites. They're both negative. So negative 3 minus 3 more is negative 6. So minus 6y. So 10x minus 6y is the final answer for that one. What would be another answer that would be correct? Yeah, negative 6y plus 10x would also be correct. Just making sure you can email it. Because maybe you did that inadvertently somehow, and then you look up the answer in Marichuk or Rockswell, and it says it this way. And so you have to get comfortable that there's more than one version of an answer oftentimes that are equivalent to each other. And so... but typically, we do it alphabetically. So X here, Y here, this would be the more normal answer, but just testing that. How do you feel about distributive properties combining like terms? That's like a quick review of that. Because that's just a little small skill needed for what we're going to do now. So I get out a piece of paper. There's not enough room on this. We'll kind of do these three problems in just a minute. But we're going to spend some time right now solving equations. And I'm going to backtrack
just a little bit. Four different examples on the board. They're all equations. The directions would now say solve. So not simplify, solve, because you're going to tell me what value of x I can plug in there to make that true. So paying attention to how directions change is also sort of important in here. So directions would now just be the single word solve. And do you see they all involve 3 and 12 for the most part? Do you think they have the same answer, different answer, or some might have the same answer? What are your thoughts? Do you think some might have the same answer? These are all called one-step equations. Everything we do today and from now on in here is based on your ability to do these. So see if you can solve those. See if you know how to solve those one-step equations. In other words, one step, you get the answer. So this is ground zero for what we're doing today, being one step away from the answer. We could be 5 or 6 steps away, but at some point you will always be one step away to sort of know what to do. And each one of these gets handled a little bit differently. So right now I'm reminding you of the 4 different things you can do to both sides of an equation and keep it equivalent. So an equation is like a balance beam, and whatever you do on one side, you must do the same thing on the other side to keep it equivalent. And you get to pick what to do. Your ultimate goal is always to get down to x equals the answer. Like 1x, one in front of x equals the not answer on the other side. So what do you do in the first one?
Subtract.
Yeah, subtract 3, because there's a plus 3 there. So you're doing the inverse operation. So -3 - -3 looks like this. The reason I chose, or you chose, to subtract 3, maybe you just do it like mechanically without even thinking about it, is so that that pair of opposites cancel. Positive 3, negative 3 cancel. Down comes the x, which is just what we wanted. X equals the answer. And then go ahead and do the right-hand side, which is going to generate the solution. So 12 minus 3 is 9. And so the first guy's answer is 9. If I plug 9 back in, 9 is in fact the solution, because 9 plus 3 does equal 12. So it checks. It is the only number in the whole wide world that checks. It's the only solution. There's one solution. You just found out what it is. Okay? Everybody good with that one? What do you do in the second one? You add 3 to both sides, because once again, we wish to make that pair of opposites right there. If you inadvertently chose to subtract 3 from both sides, that's not going to cancel. Now it's going to be -6, and it's going to make it even worse. So we're doing the inverse operation to get things to undo each other and cancel. So x equals 15 on that one, because 12 plus 3 is 15, yeah? Okay, so we can add whatever we want as long as we do it to both sides. We can subtract whatever we want as long as we do it to both sides. Over here, yeah, adding or subtracting 3 is not going to help. It's just going to make it messier, because that 3 is being multiplied times the x. So the way you get rid of things being multiplied is the inverse operation, which is division. So it looks like this. Divide by 3, divide by 3, like that. 3 divided by 3, actually any number divided by itself, always becomes the number 1. We don't write it there, but it's there, out in front. And so you get x equals 4. And when I check it, 3 times 4 is 12, so we'll go down. This is the one most people don't like to do. For some reason, this one is the one I was going to get wrong, if you're going to get one of those wrong.
The variable is currently being divided by 3, so guess what we're going to do? Multiply both sides by 3. And it looks kind of weird. It kind of just looks like this, just a 3 here and a 3 here, 3 out front. That 3 is sort of, oh, technically over 1. We don't write it in there, but it's over 1. I'm going to show it, because then you can see that those that diagonal pair cancels. 3 divided by 3 is 1, and so down comes x. And on the right-hand side, 12 times 3 is 36. And you saw that's the 4 basic things from today that you're allowed to do. Add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Now I'm just going to start layering onto it. Kind of remember this, remember this, remember this, remember this. So first thing to remember, and I kept everybody small and positive. Everybody could be fractions, could be sine, negative, decimals, whatever they turned out to be. So I want you to see this one real quick. So 15 equals negative 2x. I'm picking this example to show you that the variable is not always on the left. Sometimes the variable is on the right. You got to kind of get ambidextrous as far as that goes. It's the variable side that dictates what you do, not the left side that dictates what you do. It just happened to be the left side for the first 4 I gave you. So this variable is currently being multiplied by negative 2, so what are you going to do? Divide both sides by negative 2. Not positive 2, negative 2, whatever's out in front of the x. It looks like this. Because negative 2 divided by negative 2, anything divided by itself is 1. So down comes the x. On this right-hand side, we got this fraction that looks like this. Right? Because 15, if you do 15 divided by negative 2, you're going to get negative 7.5. So when you look up the answer, it might say this. X equals negative 7.5, or it might leave it in fraction format, and it might just say 15 halves. This negative that we naturally got in the bottom is going to get written out in front of the fraction for an answer, like on an answer situation. They're not going to leave a negative on the bottom. They're going to put it sort of out in front of the fraction. In the answer book, they would do that. Okay. Well, that's kind of a nice fraction that converts to a nice decimal that's like something like that. But oftentimes, if you do that division, remember, sometimes it becomes a repeating decimal or just goes on forever and ever. So you would just leave it as a fraction. Improper fractions totally fine with us. So either one would be acceptable. But since this one kind of went nicely, most people would still have negative 7.5. But if it filled up your whole screen full of numbers, you would just leave it as a fraction. So we get fractional answers in here all the time, so don't worry that you did something wrong. That's just the way things turn out to be. Okay, like that one so far? Okay, let's go to the next one. Thoughts about this, 2/7x equals 10. This is still a one-step equation, because in one step I could get to the answer if I know what I'm doing. So we're not going to put just because we have a fraction in the problem. There's sort of the two-step approach to doing this and the one-step. I'm going to teach the one-step. So remember, our goal is to get like an x with a 1 in front of it, like a 1 in front of the x. You can do that in one step. If you remember the fact that when you have a fraction multiplied times the reciprocal, it always equals 1. So a fraction times its reciprocal, reciprocals which is flipping it, always equals 1. So do you agree if I multiply this left-hand side by 7 halves, which is the reciprocal of 2/7, you would get like 14 over 14, which is 1. You don't have to do any work. It just comes down to the x. That's a pretty handy thing to remember how to do. So on this side, you get x. But don't forget, whatever you do on the left-hand side, you got to run over and do the same thing on the right-hand side. So if I chose to multiply that equation by 7 halves on the left, I must multiply by 7 halves on the right. Kind of handy thing to remember. What is that 10 over? A 1. It's over a 1 at the beginning, like it's over a 1. So you can either key that into your calculator or you can do it. I'm just going to do it. So 2 goes into 2 once, 2 goes into 10 5 times, and 5 times 7 is 35, and 35 over 1 is just 35. And so the answer is 35. But certainly once you have the ABC key, you'll just go 10 times 7, ABC 2 equals, and it's going to say 35. I don't want you thinking you can't do it, just if your fraction knowledge isn't fantastic at the moment. Okay, with that one?
What if it had been negative 2/7? What's the reciprocal in negative 2/7? Negative 7/2. The reciprocal keeps the sign. So if it's positive, it's positive. If it's negative, it's negative. Otherwise, if you multiply this by negative 7/2, this would be negative x. We don't want negative x. We want positive 1x. You would have gotten like negative 35 would have been wrong. So be careful. Okay. All right, let's keep going. And we're now progressing to two-step equations. So it's going to take two steps to get to the answer. So, for example, here's a pretty basic first one. So all the ones we've done so far have just taken one step to get to the answer. Now we're going to take two. All right, so with that variable x on the left, I see two things. I see the number 2 and I see positive 1. The order is important that you remove, like that you undo. Which do you get rid of first, the plus 1 or the 2? The plus 1. So you always get rid of what's being added or subtracted first. So how do you get rid of plus 1? Subtract 1. So minus 1, minus 1. So that gives you 2x equals 14. Now you're one step away from the answer. It's one of those basic four core things that we do. So 2 is being multiplied, so divide by 2. And you get x equals 7. You can always, and I don't always write it down, but I damn sure always do it, especially on a test or quiz, check my answer. Take your calculator, 2 times 7 plus 1, oh, 15. I got it right, I move on. Like, once you check it, especially when things say solve, you know you're right, you never go back and look at that one because you don't have to recheck it. It's already, that is the answer. That's the one answer that makes it true. So how does, like, this is a typical two-stepper. How does it get more complicated? How do I make it harder? Just make the numbers negative. And the answer comes out to be a fraction. All of a sudden, you start getting a little bit more wrong. Let's try this one. So you solve this one on your own. Negative 21 equals 3x plus 3. Check your answer with your neighbors, see if they agree with your solution. Should the whole class agree? Yes. Only one answer. Only one solution to this problem. If everyone agrees, we just move on. Right? If everyone has the right answer, we just move on. But probably not everyone. What is the answer?
Negative 8.
So most people got negative 8? Okay. So what's the minimum amount of work I would see that would get you, like, I'm showing every step up here with a line underneath it and, like, what I'm doing because it's in the developmental phase. But could I just subtract 3 from both sides, like, in my head and go, I'm going to subtract 3, so that's going to give me negative 24 equals 3x. Did anybody not show it but do it? Or is everyone showing minus 3 minus 3? Okay, good. Good practice to show it right now for sure. But I don't want you to think if you wrote this that we're going to go, oh, you didn't show your work, because we could do it. Like, what do you do now? Did everybody show it? Like, just divide by 3, divide by 3? Or did anybody just go, like, x equals negative 8? If you're that, like, good at it, you can do it. I don't want to, like, bore you and make you have to show that, but I'm going to show it. So divide by 3, divide by 3, and you get x equals negative 8. The most common wrong answer would be x equals positive 8. That you would not pay attention to this negative divided by positive is a negative answer. And then all of a sudden, it's like you get really angry with yourself because you're not paying attention to your signs. That student has the logic of everything in their brain. They're just a bit careless when it comes to signs. And so if that's you, you got to pay, like, really slow down. Like, if the yellow caution blinking at you, that I must slow down because it's time I get this stuff right. I want to get an A in this class. I want 7 credits of A. I want to get this stuff right. So fix errors that you tend to make right now while things are quite easy. Okay, questions on that?
Yeah.
because we're going to move on. So, like, I'm just making it a little bit more challenging as we go on. All right, next one. Guess why the first thing that you learned when you walked in today was the distributive property. That little skill is going to come into play right now. So now we're at three steps. Sort of a three-step equation. The goal is, I think the goal is to get to where you're comfortable. Like, oh, I didn't learn really that one, but this one I'm pretty good at. This is, I'm two steps away from the answer, so I'm pretty confident when I get to this level. Everything is systematic like that. Even when it's six steps, it always comes down to being two steps away, then one step away, then the answer. It's just how long does it take you to get to this kind of comfort zone where you've done this kind of problem 300 times in your life? So it's like, oh, I know I'm supposed to add eight. So adding eight to both sides, because you always get rid of what's being added or subtracted first. And then ultimately, now I want to get the x by itself. It's being multiplied, so divide by 2, divide by 2. And I get the answer, which is x equals 14. And if I plug 14 in right here, either in my calculator or in my head, 14 minus 4 is 10, and 10 times 2 is 20, and I know I'm right with 100% certainty, and I can move on to the next problem. So ones that say solve, you don't even have to like look up. You can know yourself if the answer is right or wrong. Raise your hand if you got the right. So that's why the distributive property comes into play. Okay, so here's sort of your ultimate test of the day. Because you must fight every urge under the sun to combine that 5 minus 3 and say it's 2. Because the minute you do, 5 minus 3 is 2. It's completely wrong from that point on forever. Do you remember order of operations? Which comes first, this subtraction right here or this multiplication right here? The multiplication comes first. So the minute you combine these, so you're thinking left to right, and you see 5 minus 3, you just want to say 2, it's wrong every single time. So that 5 for the moment is just going to come down and hang out while you remove those parentheses. Is it a 3 or is it a negative 3? It's a negative 3. So you must distribute that negative right along with the 3. And usually when I draw like the rainbows to show what you're doing, I actually tend to draw it from the sign so that you can see the negative is also being distributed with the 3 also. So there's a lot of trickiness, and this is a decent level problem right here. Maybe that's how you get to. I'm happy, like I got through there. I feel pretty good about that. But you're not done. But at least you're on your way to being done. It looks better than the first one because the parentheses have been removed. It's still equivalent, original equivalent. So now is where we learned about combining like terms. So I've got this pair of like terms sitting right here. I'm even going to circle them that I'm going to combine on the left. So sometimes you just have to do a little bit of work on one side of the equation. That's what I'm going to do. So 5 minus 3 is 2. So I've got this. Or maybe you wrote it this way. They're both equivalent to each other. They both mean the same thing. So it's up to how you combined it and wrote it down. Some people like to keep the variable first followed by the number. Some people like to put the number first followed by the variable. The important part is the 2 is positive and the 3x has a negative in front of it. They're equivalent to each other. Do you see you're now two steps away from the answer? This is the one that looks more two-steppy, variable number, but we did it. Variable side dictates what you do, so regardless of which way you have it, you would subtract 2 from both sides. So that would give me negative 3x equals 28. Over here, if you subtract 2, you would have negative 3x equals 28, and now they, in fact, look identical. And then dividing both sides by negative 3,
you get x equals negative 28 thirds.
If you key that one into your calculator, practice it, see what you get. If we're trying to make the decision if we should write it as a decimal, when you write 28 to negative 28 thirds, it's going to go on, right? So we would just leave that as the fractional answer. And it doesn't reduce any further because 3 does not go into 28. So evenly, there's nothing that goes into both. And so sometimes you get a weird fractional answer. This was one of them. See how if we had started with that one, it would sort of been a nightmare today because you don't have any scaffolding to build on what we're doing. This is the most complicated one we've done so far. You know, when we throw a negative out from the parentheses and answer it turns out to be a weird negative fraction. But you've got a lot of examples ahead that were more basic. Okay, so what do you do with something like this? We haven't looked at any today where we have variable and a number on one side, variable and a number on the other side, and they equal each other. That situation has not come up yet today. So we need to talk about that. So, as the math problem solver, we need to make a decision. Am I going to make my variables go on the left and all my numbers go on the right? Or am I going to make my variables be on the right and all my numbers go on the left? If you're a beginning math student, they tend to be pretty rigid and go, I'm always going to move my variables to the left, so x equals the answer. When you do a lot more math, you get quite ambidextrous. And I'm fine with having x equals 5, I'm fine with having 5 equals x. And you look at the problem and you let the problem decide what to do. And normally, like he and I would keep the variable positive. So we would move it to keep the variable positive. That's just kind of a good problem-solving strategy. But I'm going to move it left pages because I think that's what most of you would do. So in other words, I've got this 3x on the right-hand side that I wish to cross this equal to sign over and join this 5x. So you do that by subtracting 3x from both sides. Anytime a variable crosses the equal to sign, a term crosses the equal to sign, it changes its sign. So it looks something like that. So now that's gone. Because positive 3x and negative 3x are opposites and cancel. And 5 minus 3, so now we're at 2x plus 2 equals negative 10. And look at that. We're right back where we were, 2 steps away from the answer, in more familiar territory. So you're always trying to get what you're given to be familiar. So like, oh, I know what to do now. I subtract 2 from both sides. So minus 2 minus 2. So I have 2x equals negative 12. And then I divide both sides by 2, and I got x equals negative 6 to be the answer. And when you check this one, you would have to plug it in for both x's. The x on the left, get a number. The x on the right, get a number, and they should equal each other. Okay? Everybody good with that? So I want to show that same problem sort of one more time in a little bit quicker fashion. And if you're ready for this, then you can do it this way. Okay, so I committed in my head to move my variable to the left. Therefore, by default, the numbers are going to the right. Agreed? I can do that all in one line. So if I'm going to move the variables left, I'm going to subtract 3x from both sides. If I'm going to move the numbers to the right, I'm going to subtract 2 from both sides. So see how I showed it all in one line there? So these guys cancel, and down comes 2x equals negative 12. So if you're ready to do that in one line, you're welcome to do it in one line. If you need to do it in two lines, take two lines to do it. But that's a pretty good to be able to streamline that way and do it like that. Okay. So now we're ready to solve the ones, just the three generic ones they threw in your course notes. So go back. And these should look easy compared to the ones that we just did. So go ahead and solve those three on your own. Or with your neighbor. These ones shouldn't take too long because two of them are one steppers and one of them's two steppers. So. Thank you.
Anybody here? Ready? Done? How confident are you in your three answers? 100%? Raise your hand if you're 100% confident in your three answers. A couple people. Are you? Would you bet me $100 your answers are right? Did you check them? Like, they're one-step equations, so they shouldn't be that difficult. Well, two-step and one-step. They shouldn't be that difficult to solve. If you check them, you should be 100% certain. Okay, well, let's do the first one first. So what do you do? Add five. So add 5, add 5. So now I have 2x equals 6. And then divide by 2. Divide by 2. So x equals 3. Anybody got that? Raise your hand. That's the easy one. 2 times 3 is 6. 6 minus 5 is 1. Perfect. All right. Number 2. I see a single fraction just sitting out in front of a variable. I remember we learned a shortcut to clear out, like, to get a 1 in front of that p. And it involves the reciprocal. So the reciprocal of negative 3/5 is negative 5/3. So you're going to multiply both sides by negative 5/3. So negative 5/3 times negative 3/5 p. And of course, whatever you do on the left, you got to do the same thing on the right. So it would look something like this. These guys on the left become the number 1. So you just bring p down. I know a fraction times reciprocal always equals 1. So I don't even have to bring it. Just the p comes down. 1p or p. Do you agree with that? Okay. On the right-hand side, I have to do that little multiplication right there, either in my head or on the calculator. The 6 goes over a 1. So 3 goes into 3 once. 3 goes into 6 twice. Multiply straight across. 2 times negative 5 is negative 10. And negative 10 over 1 is negative 10. We don't leave an answer with a 1 underneath it. There's often times where you put a 1 under stuff, but your final answer wouldn't have a 1 underneath it. So just negative 10. Anybody 2 for 2? So far? Huh. You have less faith. I have more faith in you than you. Okay, last one. Variable size dictates what we do. If you read it out loud, it's t divided by 3. How do you get rid of divided by 3? Multiply both sides by 3. So times 3 times 3. So I got t equals negative 3. So those are the three answers to those three equations right there. The basic ones. Turn the page. And now you get to do the more advanced ones. You have a calculator for the decimal stuff, so I'm not really addressing you to key it in. So I'm going to let you work on those 4 and 5 for a couple minutes and see how you do. Do something. At least get it more simplified, right? Like, do something. Number 4 is just like the one that the last one that we did, only it just happens to have decimals in it.
Dr. Hodges, raise your hand, David, I'll help.
Percents. So, quiz on Friday, order of operations, solve the linear equations, percent stuff. I'll work on that today. I don't have it yet, but. Do we want mine? Raise your hand if you're done. Oh, good speed. You gotta work that, like, walk the fine line between speed and accuracy, because we want you speedy and accurate. You can't sacrifice one for the other, because I used to have a kid, he was always fast, but man, they were always wrong. It's like, well, what good are you to me? You're the first one done, but everything's wrong. So that was when I taught middle school. I'm going to be the first one to shoot their hand up. I'm done. But they're wrong. Okay, we're going to go ahead and go over this number 4 problem. And I think another difficult thing for us to explain to you to get in your head is there's probably 3 or 4 different ways to do this, like steps to do this problem where you would all end up the same answer at the end. So, for instance, I can move my variables to the left and my numbers to the right at the beginning. Or I can move my variables to the right and my numbers to the left at the beginning. I don't know what y'all did. I'm assuming you probably kind of split. Most of you probably moved the variables to the left. But if you choose to move the variables to the left, it's going to create a negative number because 2 minus 7 is negative 5 something, right? So we would tend to avoid that because we know negatives just are pesky and they make mistakes sometimes. So I would tend to move, in my case, like the variable to the right, because I'm kind of trained that way, and I do it a lot, so like that's what I do. But ultimately, we would all end up the same answer at the end, because mathematically, the steps that we're doing are equivalent, and they're correct. But I can only really show you one, so I'm going to show you the typical one. I'm assuming you moved your variables to the left. Is that what you did? Did you subtract 7.1 from both sides? So if I subtract 7.1x here, I must subtract 7.1x here. Did anybody combine them and do the same, like in the same row? Like add 6.4? So I'm going to go ahead and show that. So adding 6.4 here, and therefore I add 6.4 here. So I have now made the commitment that my variables are going left and my numbers are going right. Now I just need to execute it and do it properly. So the opposites cancel. So these guys cancel and these guys cancel. So I'm going to key in 2.3 minus 7.1. And I got negative 4.8, so negative 4.8x equals, and then I'm going to do 12.8 plus 6.4, and I got 19.2. If you did it the other way, you would have like the negative 19.2 over here, and you'd have positive 4.8 here, so and still get the same answer at the end. So dividing both sides by negative 4.8, and I don't know what's going to happen. Does it go in evenly? Divided by 4.8.
I got negative 4. So there you go. So you got x equals negative 4.
A little bit of a contrived problem where you got so many decimals in it. Oh, the answer turned out to be negative 4. I was expecting it to be a decimal answer, but it didn't end up being. Okay, yeah. So we did a problem just like this a couple of minutes ago. We just had decimals in it. But we're not allowed the decimals to figure this out because we got to calculate it as a decimal part. Okay, on to this one. Ooh, I've got a little red alert right here because I got a negative. That's not a 3, it's a negative 3. That's the mistake area. And then I've kind of got parentheses on both sides. I'm not thinking about the final answer at the moment. I'm thinking about something more simplified that's equivalent underneath it. So I know that y is just going to come down. So negative 3 times y is negative 3y. And negative 3 times positive 2 is negative 6. So left-hand side, at least I've removed the parentheses. Right-hand side, what'd you get? 2y minus 14. It looks a whole lot better to me right now. At least the parentheses are all removed. I'd like it to look like number 4. Like variable number equals variable number. That would kind of be my next goal. So I've got this pair of like terms right here that are going to combine. Remember that y? He's got a ghost 1 sitting in front of him that's not written in that you need to pay attention to because it's 1y. So 1 minus 3 is negative 2. So negative 2y minus 6 equals 2y minus 14. Now it looks very much like the one on top because I got variable number equaling variable number. So I'm going to head my variables to the left and my numbers to the right again just because consistency is sometimes helpful when you're first learning. And I'm going to do it all in one kind of fell swoop. So minus 2y minus 2y is going to get rid of these. And what else do I need to do? Add 6. So add 6 is going to get rid of those. And so what ultimately comes down, what's negative 2y minus 2 more y? Negative 4y. And what's negative 14 plus 6? Careful. Negative 8, because it's negative 14 plus 6, so negative 8. And then dividing both sides by negative 4. What happens when you divide a negative by a negative? Positive. So you get y equals 2. And if you were going to check your answer y equals 2, you would go back up to the original and replace 3 y's with the number 2 and make sure the left side equals the right side. And you should definitely be doing those checks, especially on like your written work where you don't have the answer, because that's the way you know that you're right. All right, I'm going to skip these two for the moment. I want to have you solve these. This one, number 8. Seems like what we've been doing. Right? Directions would just say solve. So it looks pretty similar to what we just did a minute ago. Your parentheses, look up here and see if you agree with that line underneath it. That you have a plus x right here because negative times negative is positive. It's pretty important. And because I have 3 terms on the right, I can combine like terms. So that x and that x combine because they're like terms. What is x plus x? What is x times x? X squared. Completely different things. So this is a 2x. So x plus x is 2x. So I have 2x minus 10 equals 2x minus 10, right? And that might not be alarming to you till you keep going because you don't even think about it. But we have variable number equaling variable number, right? So typically, I'm going to move my variables to the left and my numbers to the right. And if you start doing that, you would subtract 2x from both sides. And what about the 10s? You would add 10 to both sides, right? Maybe you've already got some bells going off in your head because like 2x minus 10 equals 2, but maybe you don't. And so you meant to move your variables to the left. They canceled on the right, but look, they also canceled on the left, right? Because they're opposite, so they canceled.
and you meant to move that 10 over, and it did work, but it's opposites over here, and ultimately I'm staring at 0 equals 0. Do you agree with that? Like, I've got 0 equals 0.
I wanted these to cancel, and they did, but inadvertently these canceled also. So I don't have any variables anymore. All the variables dropped out of the problem at that point.
And so what's the answer?
Good guess, but wrong.
It's all solutions.
Why?
Because any number you plug in will work.
Yeah, she said two things. Any solution, because any number I plug in will work. There's a big difference between no solutions, being nobody works in the whole wide world, and everybody works in the whole wide world. So this is 0 equals 0, true or false?
True.
So the correct answer is all real numbers. Any number works, but we have a math word for that. It's called all real numbers. We also have a symbol for it, which is what I would use. The symbol for all real numbers, so you can write out all real numbers. You could write the symbol for all real numbers, which is this, double lines and an R. That's the cool way to write it. So that's what we like, all real numbers. Or we have an English word that means it also, identity. And it says right there, identity. We are fluent in all three of those symbols. Like, we know all three mean the same thing. You should probably know all three mean the same thing also. I could plug in the number 2 and it would be true. I could plug in negative 2. I could plug in a million. I could plug in 1/2. I could plug in negative 7. Every single number plugs in there and makes it true. Because right there, 2x minus 10 equals 2x minus 10, they were equal to each other. The left side already equals the right side, no matter what x is. But I think when you're first learning, you don't recognize it necessarily. You just are in this groove of like, I'm going to move, and I'm going to solve, and you got 0 equals 0 down here. So just kind of be aware. Let's contrast that to what happens in this example. So you remove the parentheses and you get that. And you're sort of still in that groove of moving the numbers to one side, the variables to the other side. So you just kind of, well, I see a negative 5x, so I'm going to add 5x to both sides. And I've got that 15, so I'm going to subtract 15 from both sides, because that might be the level that you're at, where you're just kind of in the groove of doing things the same way every time. And so not only did it cancel on the right-hand side like you intended it to do, but do you see how it canceled on the left-hand side also? Because they were opposite, so they canceled. And that canceled over there. So the left-hand side, you have a big fat zero coming down because both terms canceled. But on the right-hand side, you do not have a zero because 8 minus 15 is not zero. What is 8 minus 15? Negative 7. And this is not true, because 0 does not equal negative 7. So what do you think this guy's conclusion is? Yes, well, the English word is contradiction. It means there's no solution. So I don't want you walking out of here thinking that every single equation has a solution, because it's not true. Most of the ones that we did, 90% of the ones that we did today, had a solution, one number. When it has a solution, it's called conditional. So all the earlier ones that we did today are conditional. If, as long as it meets the right condition, if x equals 5, you got an answer or whatever. So that's 90% of what you do. But there are the two weirdos, the two special cases. One of them is an identity, meaning every number works. And the other one is no solution. So you can write the word no solution. But of course, we like the symbol. Symbol for no solution in math is that. A zero with a line through it, no solution. All real numbers, no solution. That's what I'm going to write every single time. All real numbers, no solution. Or you can write the English word contradiction, which means the same thing, no solution. So if it says classify the equation, because your homework site's got to say classify the equation, that's the English word. It's either conditional, an identity, or contradiction. If it says solve, like what's the answer, your answer is going to be like x equals 5, or all real numbers, or no solution. Okay, so that's kind of the quirky ones that come up every once in a while. Okay with that? All right, we got one last equation to talk about today to solve, which is with these two guys right here. So, if your equation has just a single fraction in front of the variable, we talked about how to do that. But these ones have two fractions, do they? They have more than one fraction going on. And so, there's a lot of ways you can do it, but the technique that we're teaching how to do it is just how to clear out the fractions. How do you get this equation right here to look like something that we already know how to solve from all the hour that we've been working on it? There's something you can do in one step that will get rid of all those fractions and have it look like what we've been doing all day long. It's called clearing the fractions. All right, so we're going to attempt to do that today. So it's sort of a step process. So step number one, anybody who's not a fraction, make into a fraction by putting it over one. So there we go. So now do you see three fractions? Three. Can you look at those three fractions and look at the denominator and tell me what the least common denominator is? What's the smallest number they would all go into?
Six.
So I'm just going to make a mental note of that. The LCD is six, in case you remember where am I getting that six from. So the LCD between those three fractions is six. Is that difficult so far? No, not too difficult so far. All right, so you are allowed to take an equation and multiply that equation by whatever you want, as long as you do it to every single term, like to both sides. I'm going to show it looking like this, so I have to rewrite it a little bit, so I have a little bit more room. I am allowed to multiply an entire equation by whatever number I pick. I'm picking the number six. Okay? That means I got the guys on the left and also the guy on the right, everybody by six. But I'm probably not going to write that step down very much. When you multiply an equation by a number like six, it literally sits in all three numerators. So I'm going to rewrite it how I would actually have it. So when I multiply by 6, I'm going to put a times 6 here, a times 6 here, and a times 6 here. In other words, I'm distributing it. I've already distributed it to all three terms. So to me, the out in front step, good to see it the first time, but not really necessary, because I'm going to go ahead in the next step and put it in all three numerators. Remember, it's really a 6 over 1. So that's why it just sits in the numerators like that. Everybody okay with that step right there? I put a 6 there. Now the beauty comes into play. What's 1 times 6? Divided by 2. 3. No more fraction, right? So 3x comes down. Then this minus 9 comes down. What's 2 times 6? 12. Divided by 3. 4. No more fractions. So minus 4 equals... What's negative 2 times 6? Negative 12 divided by 1. Still negative 12. We did it. We took an equation that had a lot of fractions, and we multiplied it by the LCD, and the resulting equation right here has no more fractions, and it looks just like what we were doing earlier today. You are now two steps away from the answer. So an equation that involves a lot of fractions just takes one step to clear them out and put it into something that you hopefully know how to solve already. Do you know how to solve this one? What do you do first? Add 4. So get rid of what's being added or subtracted first. So plus 4. So now you have 3x equals negative 8. And then what?
Divide by 3.
And I got x equals negative 8/3. And you did it. You solved your first sort of fractional equation. You have to sort of use your calculator or plug it in to check and make sure it checks what it does. That's the solution. So we're going to try that again with the one below it. And then I'm going to turn it over to Dave to talk for the last 10 minutes. All right. So everybody who's not a fraction and making your fraction by putting over a 1. By coincidence, what's the LCD again? 6. Because 1, 3, and 6 is 6. That was just weird that they both came out to be 6 for these two examples. So what am I going to do with that 6 again? What do I do with it? multiply every term by it, but it ends up sitting in all three numerators. In parentheses, like times 6, times 6, times 6.
So I'm going to put it times 6 here, times 6 here, times 6 here.
If I chose that LCD correctly, then Nathan should have no more fractions. So 5 times 6 is 30 divided by 6 is 5.
So 5x comes down. Don't forget the x. The ego design comes down. 2 times 6 is 12, and 12 divided by 3 is 4. So 4 comes down. The minus sign comes down. And 6 times x is 6x.
So that's what it looks like. Each individual term is now equivalent underneath it with no more fractions. I'm going to move my variables over here. So I'm going to add 6x to both sides, because I need those on the same side.
So I got 11x equals 4, divide by 11, divide by 11, and x equals 4 elevenths.
It's not unusual for the weird fraction ones to have weird fraction answers. It's just kind of the nature of it. Okay? So we did a lot. We went from like ground zero to like solving complicated stuff in one day. They're all linear equations. Okay? So, Jade, how can I help you? You handing stuff back?
Well, I don't know. Let's do the commitment forms first.
Okay.
If you want to hand out. Well, actually, let me talk first.
Okay.
Brianna, where are you? So, if you would, initial, we're along here. And if you haven't turned in your commitment form, there's a few people that haven't done that, so I need for you to do that. I can tell you who you are. Matilda. And Ethan. The rest are absent. Okay. And also, I've got a couple of people who turned in homeworks, but of course didn't put their name on it. Anybody want to claim this one? Is that you? Okay. So I'm going to write Raul. And let me grade it and give it back. And then, who wants to claim this one? Who's this? Brianna. Okay. And finally, let me just hit a couple of highlights on the homework. So if I can find where I can put those. Here they are. Yeah, all of you did pretty well on the homeworks. There were a bunch of hundreds. There were two people who are here who did not turn in homework. If you're one of those people and just forgot to turn it in, see me after class. But if you're going to get in the habit of not turning in homeworks, that's not a good thing. So try to make time to do your homework sometime during the day after class or during the evening or something. Don't get in the habit of not coming to class with your homework, because that will end badly for your grade. I think we can safely say that. Okay. And then, so everybody did pretty well. One person had a little bit of a problem with, thank you, with the fractions. Actually, two people. One person didn't simplify. Another person, I think you were trying to get a common denominator or something here. But when you're multiplying fractions, you don't have to get a common denominator. In fact, it doesn't make any sense. So just be aware of that. And then also, there were a few people that had problems on this last problem, which was evaluate. There were about 5 or 6 people who got the wrong answer. I'm just going to pick on one person here. There were a variety of ways in which you made the mistake. This person actually substituted incorrectly, used parentheses correctly. This looks really good up to this point, and got a So 4 times negative 5 is negative 20. That's correct. And negative 5 squared is positive 25, but there's a minus sign in front. So what do you do to the minus sign? You have to keep it. You have to bring it down. So it's actually negative 20 minus a positive 25. So the correct answer is negative 45. So there were a number, like I say, 5 or 6 people who didn't get negative 45 as the answer for a variety of reasons, but this was a typical kind of mistake. It's an easy mistake to make. In fact, sign errors are, in my opinion, the most common errors that we have. So you just got to get in the habit of really, what I call looking both ways, like when you cross the street. If you see a negative sign, you look both ways. You don't want to get run over by a car, right? Because that's likely to happen. Okay, so we're going to hand out the homework. So you want to...
Yeah, you want to keep those homeworks in your folder, by the way, or put them down in your
mind. Yeah.
Okay.
Need to go. So, the ones that have one name on the top, I mean, Raoul and...
Emily?
Yeah.
Kathy?
Yeah, you have to turn in your homework.
Okay.
Right away. I'll get you back next time.
Kimberly? Jennifer? Kayla?
Okay.
Sarah?
Well, this is good. Great.
One.
You always have to turn to the practice problems. Yeah. Which you did. In this case, they were...
Okay, is everyone clear their homework? Written homework tomorrow, it's 2 pages, that's 2.1. Go do some AmeriTest, check your answers, do those 6 problems. Do first thing tomorrow. Good job, we'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
That's it, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So what happened to the... Okay, the...
Right here.
Oh, Raul?
Yeah, what is 100? Rihanna? Did she leave? What did you get on your
own? Oh, sorry. Good job, Raul. You got your first 100.
On the first couple of
here. Oh, we can do that. I can try the first one here.
Right. If you want to come on the first one, you just walk with me over on that one. That's not quite as wide as that's completely up to you what you want to do.
I think that's a good idea to try the first one in here, and if I think I need a change, I'll let you
know. Okay, because it's too hard. So, like, I can say you have a
time. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
This has two pages. So solve the easier equation and the easier equation.
Yeah.
And so tomorrow you'll come with that.
It's written somewhere in the syllabus or
in that one there.
You can turn in homework and do class, but I'll give credit.
Does it have to
be? I'll take a check this time. But the first thing you do when you come to class is you turn in your homework. Because I don't want, we don't want to have students working on
homework.
So, if
you don't
want
to,
okay,
I didn't know that, I'll do it.
Have a cool time. Thank you for it. It's good to know there was the other person also in the chat.
Let me just check real quick and see if anybody.
So we're good.
Yeah, they're gone.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
I'll just get them.
Okay. Just don't.
Yeah.
Don't trip.
So, this is your show
of Okay. Two. It always matches like whatever the one. I can show you. I might actually open it for a moment.
So, if you go to your homework, the first one is you've already done. So it's the second one, which says 2.1. Here. So Maricheck 2.1. M stands for Maricheck 2.1. They always line.
And this one happens.